We've heard so many stories about refugees this year, refugees on the move, refugees adjusting to new lives in new countries. But rarely do we hear what it's like to be among the last residents of a refugee camp that's emptying out because of a successful resettlement program. In Nepal, a decade-old program has helped more than 100,000 Bhutanese refugees move abroad, with the vast majority starting new lives here in the U.S. Danielle Price reports from eastern Nepal.
It's Teacher's Day at Beldarngi Refugee Camp. Students at Tree Rot in a secondary school are thanking their teachers with speeches, songs, and folk dances on a bamboo stage decorated with their mother's saris. This has been a yearly tradition since the school opened in 1992, when the refugees had just arrived and classes were held in an empty field. Now, they study in a modest complex of bamboo classrooms that's even got a science lab and small teacher's lounge. But there aren't many students left. The school's principal, Purna Gurung, tells me the student body has dropped from nearly 3,000 to under 200 as kids leave the camp and resettle to new countries. One of the last to leave will be 29-year-old teacher Sita Adhikari.
How many doors and how many windows?
I sit in on Adhikari's high school math class. She actually has a master's degree in humanities, but when the camp's last math teacher moved abroad, she was the most qualified person to take over.
I am a teacher. I get US$7 in a month.
$7. We talk more in Adhikari's bamboo hut, where she teaches herself the lessons while trying to keep her young kids occupied enough to ignore the oppressive heat and mosquitoes. A small fan quietly fights back in the corner, but sweat trickles with any movement. When a problem stumps her, she texts her brother for help. He used to teach math in the camp too, but resettled to Rochester, New York in 2008. Soon she'll join him.
I want to experience life.
Adhikari says she's late to apply for resettlement because her recent divorce has complicated her application. But some of her neighbors are still here because they don't actually want to move. Adhikari explains that people have been talking about moving back to Bhutan since they were pushed out in the 90s, but it hasn't happened yet. One of these people holding out for return to Bhutan was Adhikari's own primary school teacher, Dunman Kadka, who came to her hut to talk.
I like small kids. Yeah. Since 1994, I'm teaching here.
Yeah. All subjects. Kadka was adamant against resettling, so much so that his wife and son moved to Australia without him in 2012. They haven't spoken since. But now, 64 and living alone, he's resigned himself. Last March, Kadka applied for Dallas, where his daughter lives.
Then what to do? So many relatives are there. Better to go there. Our life may be better than here.
Before I leave, Sita Adhikari walks me around the camp, pointing out changes. Empty housing plots have become vegetable gardens. When a family moves out, she says, their neighbors dismantle their bamboo hut for firewood. Rations from the World Food Program are decreasing, too. But for the most part, the rhythm of life in the camp goes on. And the school continues to offer promises, even as more of its benches empty.
In this place, only our hope is our school.
Sita Adhikari's legal name, the name on the documents that will get her out of this limbo and on a path to American citizenship, is Saraswati, the goddess of learning. It's a fitting name for a woman who sees education as the ticket to a better life. For The World, Danielle Price, Beldarngi Refugee Camp, Nepal.
One measure of a successful refugee program is whether people are able to move out of temporary camps and onto new lives in another country. Here's one recent success story, a program to resettle Bhutanese refugees who fled to eastern Nepal in the 1990s. Most have been resettled, primarily here in the U.S. Yesterday on the show, we heard about how the camps in Nepal are winding down and emptying out. But it turns out not everyone wants to leave. Earlier this year, Danielle Price spoke with one family facing tough choices as the deadline to apply for resettlement loomed.
70-year-old Dalba Dorbista holds no dreams of starting a new life in a new country.
I'm not going. I'm staying here.
Bista has lived in this refugee camp in Nepal for 24 years. He still considers Bhutan, where he had to abandon his house and fields of cardamom and orange trees, home.
अब देशमा फर्किने इच्छा छ छैन लागेन अब कसै गर्दा हुँदैन भने मर्नु त पाइयो होला.
I have really, really big hope that I could be back one day in my land, in Bhutan. And if not, I would like to die here in this land. But I won't go to a third country. At least I can die here in peace in this camp.
Beast is sweating over bamboo he's fashioning into a baby cradle. Refugees aren't legally allowed to work in Nepal, but the informal sector is flush with their labor. He sells his bamboo crafts both in the camp and to locals outside, but he knows these skills won't translate well in the West.
विदेश भने त हामीहरू पढा लेखा छैन. गएर ढुङ्गाको तोरमा जस्तो बस्नु मात्रै हो.
Thinking about going abroad? I can't read or write. I'm just going to be sitting there like a rock. We can understand anything, can do anything. I'm too old to work.
So why doesn't Bista go back home? Because Bhutan has made it crystal clear they don't want the refugees, who they considered illegal immigrants, back. And if you try, there could be a big price to pay.
I spent 8 years in detention center. It's too terrible.
That's 28-year-old Shanti Ramacharya, who was attending a Teacher's Day event at the camp's high school. When he was 17, Acharya says he tried to cross back over the border to visit an uncle. Instead, Acharya says he was accused of terrorism by the Bhutanese authorities. With charges of terrorism on his record, he's been told he's ineligible to resettle to the U.S., where his family moved in 2011. He's hopeful he'll be able to resettle in Australia instead, but it's hard on his mom.
I didn't call her. When I called her, she used to cry. She always remembering me. She always asks everybody about me. So I don't want to give torture to her.
Acharya and Bista are among 10,000 people caught in something of a no-man's land. Many of them don't want to go to the West, but Nepal, despite hosting the refugees for over two decades, says they don't really belong here either. Most likely they'll be allowed to stay, but experts say statehood and land rights may elude them, as it did in Bhutan. For its part, UNHCR, the UN Refugee Agency, is still negotiating with both countries. They're also looking at local solutions, like getting Nepal to let refugee kids attend regular schools once the camps have shuttered. Though UNHCR's Anna Pelosi says it's more likely to be older people who will stay behind.
I mean, I think over the years what we've seen is that the older generation tends to be more interested in returning to Bhutan, and the younger generation sometimes tends to want to be settled.
This rings true for Bim Thapa, the grandson of Dal Bahadur Bista, the bamboo craftsman. The 28-year-old is applying for resettlement in Australia. He had put it off, hoping his grandfather would change his mind and come with him. But with the deadline looming, he had to act.
And now everybody agree to go, but still there is some problem, no? Because of this grandfather and grandmother, other people also, they are not, they don't want to go. So what we should do for them, still we are confused.
Thapa doesn't want to abandon his grandfather, but he worries about his own family's future. He points out his son, who's sitting nearby watching videos on a cell phone. He's 5 now, the same age Thapa was when the family first arrived in the camp. Thapa doesn't want him to waste his childhood in a refugee camp, too. I checked back in with Thapa after the application deadline to see what the family ended up deciding. He's waiting to hear back about his case, but true to his word, his grandfather refused to apply. For The World, Danielle Price, Beldangi Refugee Camp, Nepal.